Omnimovie uses full-size VHS tapes, plays Hollywood movies all your own.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to another retro review. This week, I am joined by the producer in the booth. Welcome.
Thank you.
As you can hear, if you're familiar with our travelogue episodes, like where we go to Disneyland or yes. The recent one where we went to Vegas, this episode is going to sound like that because we only have one mic.
One mic,
to share.
One room, that's it. Sorry, guys.
One mic, one window to piss in, one window to throw it out of. Well, I fucked it up. One pot to piss in, one window. Okay, whatever. You guys
get
it.
Why are we pissing in windows?
You're pissing in a window. Welcome to the Matt and Mark movie show. I have the producer on the booth this week as my guest because she loves this movie that we're reviewing this week almost as much as I do. I definitely think you've like, this is like one of the first movies I think you and I bonded over, right?
I think so, although we've bonded over many movies.
That's true.
And you've introduced a lot of movies to me.
But this is one, this is like a special one.
Yes.
And we're going to be reviewing The Mummy in honor of its 25th anniversary.
I'm so old.
So by the time you hear this, like this week, is whenever they're going to re-release it in theaters. I believe it's coming out on April 26th. So if you want, you can go to the theater to see it on the big screen.
Ooh.
Or you could do what we did, since I actually saw this movie, and I want to talk to you about that really quick in a moment, but I saw this movie in 1999. I was there opening weekend, because I'm old, and I was there opening weekend Saturday morning to see The Mummy in 1999. Little did I know it was going to become one of my favorite movies ever. So, will I go and see the new 25th anniversary release on the big screen? Maybe. It depends if it's playing near us.
Mm-hmm.
But we watched it. We have the 4K.
Yeah.
And we were like, we're going to fucking watch this 4K. So, Jess, I think that's a good opportunity to kind of kick in real quick. Did you see this originally when it came out in theaters, or did you discover it on video?
Okay, I'm kind of the worst at remembering when I've seen a movie or how. Like, I grew up in many different parts of the world where I didn't always have access to the movie theater, so I can't remember if it was the movie theater, although it looked pretty scary, so at that point in my life, I probably didn't, and it might have been a video that my sister rented and made me watch. But I know that it's just enough scary that I can handle, but it's such a fantastic film that, like,
yeah,
it's great, and I know that I've watched it with you many times.
Yes. Did you fall in love with it immediately when you watched it, or did you have to kind of warm up to it?
I think I warmed up to it, but I knew it was, like, a great adventure. It wasn't like The Big Lebowski, which I abhor. I'm sorry,
okay,
guys.
We cannot talk about it. We can't talk about that you don't like Big Lebowski.
All right, I've tried, like, three times.
You've angered so many people
already.
No, I'm kidding.
People
are actually excited to have you on the show.
Really?
This is what I've heard.
Aww.
Like, I've been getting comments and messages about our travelogue episodes.
Keep her off the show.
So they were like, we want to have her. And I was like, you know what? Let's talk The Mummy this week.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we do that and we get too carried away, let's just do some quick
housekeeping.
Thank you. Last week, our episode that we did with for Razorback, the 1984 cult classic from Australia that we had our guest, Dasein. Shout out to our guest, Dasein.
What's up, Dasein?
That charted. We found out today. Usually we sharted.
Right.
But today we charted.
Wow.
And Razorback, yes, it charted in Australia. That would be amazing.
That would be fantastic.
I fucked up the whole thing.
Guys, if we can get Matt and Mark Movie Show charting in Australia.
We've actually charted in Australia before.
But funny enough, not for Razorback.
We charted in South Korea.
Interesting.
So I want to say thank you to our South Korean
listeners because you
guys really loved hearing us discuss Razorback. If you haven't listened to the episode yet, do go through our feed and check it out. It's there. Point two. all the mishigas I usually do. On the socials, find us at the Matt and Mark Movie Show on TikTok, Instagram. We have a YouTube channel. Please go there, support, like, and subscribe. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/TheMattAndMarkMovieShow. The link is in the show notes. For as little as a dollar, you can help support this pod, help us keep the fucking lights on.
But not only that, let me step in as the producer in the booth. For a dollar a month, not a dollar a day or 50 cents a day or some shit, a dollar a month minimum, you get access to all kinds of other videos and recordings. So just get wrecked. Or get wrecked. That's all there now.
That's like 50 hours.
Yeah.
And there's Exposing My Shelf, an original series.
Exposing My Shelf is fantastic.
Movie commentaries. Yep. Mark and I just did a commentary on The Shadow.
See, you guys got to get in on it. That's where the real action is. Yes, we have the podcast. Yes, we have the main stuff. But come on.
The real shit.
The real shit. The real sharding is happening on Patreon.
Nice callback.
Thank you.
Yes, the real sharding is happening over on Patreon. However, if you can't help support us that way, another great way you can support us is with reviews and ratings.
Yes.
That's a free way you can help support our pod. Give us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube with a like and subscribe, basically wherever you find our show. Okay, that's it.
Wow.
Let's fucking do it. You haven't watched... You've never seen the original The Mummy with Boris Karloff, right?
No, we didn't get into that one at Halloween.
Okay. Yeah, so what we did last Halloween was we went through a whole Frankenstein phase where we watched like 3 or 4 Frankenstein movies.
Yes.
I think this year, I think we should fall down the mummy rabbit hole.
Okay.
Because there are some fun old mummy movies. Curse of the Mummy, Mummy's Tomb, and The Mummy with Karloff.
I'm game.
Especially since I know you like this version of The Mummy so much.
Mm-hmm.
So this version, 1999, directed by Stephen Sommers, written and directed by Stephen Sommers. Easily his best movie, my favorite movie that the guy's made, but let me run down some other movies that he's made. Let me see if you've seen them,
okay.
If any of them tickle your fancy.
Oh, fancy.
Okay. He made, do you remember the original The Jungle Book? Not the one we saw, the computer-generated one. The OG one with Jason Scott Lee. It was made in like the mid-90s. It was like the first live-action Jungle Book.
What? No.
Yes. Jason Scott Lee, 1994. Do you remember that movie?
No.
Okay.
It was at an era when I didn't care for live action anything.
Wow.
If it wasn't animated, I didn't care.
Even if it was like, hey, this used to be animated, now it's live action.
No, because I didn't care about that stuff.
Wow. Okay. All right. Then he made Deep Rising, a monster movie set aboard a cruise ship that I love with Treat Williams and Famke Janssen.
Nope, haven't
you ever
seen
that one.
Nope.
Okay, well, you should definitely watch that one. And then based off the success of that, he gets to make The Mummy.
Now, I saw The Mummy.
You saw The Mummy. I hope you did. I hope you were awake during The
homework.
Mummy. So this is what's interesting. Apparently, I did a little reading.
Oh, so did I.
They were trying to make The Mummy, Universal was trying to reboot The Mummy or remake it since like the 80s.
Yes.
And their pitches were all over the place.
Oh, they all sounded terrible.
Well, the only one I was semi-interested in...
Let me guess. The George Romero one?
Not even the Romero one. So yes, George Romero, look at you. George Romero one of the people that was pitching. Then when Romero got busy and had to go do something...
Yeah.
They turned it over to fucking Clive Barker, the guy who made Hellraiser... And
right.
He apparently wrote this insane Clive Barkery pitch that the studio, this cracked me up, the studio was like, this is too dark and perverse.
Yes, yes,
we don't
want to
make
perverse.
This. I was like, yeah, that's what you fucking get when you hire Clive Barker. Anyway, I would love to have seen, in like an alternate universe, Spider-Man No Way Home kind of style, I would love to see what the Clive Barker version of The Mummy would look like.
Shit, I just want to read the pitch or the
script. Oh my god, I bet
script.
It'll chill you to the bone. But none of those versions got made. Universal was like, we don't want to make this horror. They didn't want to go... I think they were afraid of there being a stigma of the, like, oh, The Mummy's like a cheap horror movie that you rent at a, you know, Blockbuster on a Friday night.
Well, I think they were trying to make just another... Because at one point it was like, you can only have $10 million. It's a cheap B-horror
cheap
or whatever.
Yep.
And everybody who was pitching seemed to not really want that for this movie. And then, what's the guy's name? Sommers? The
one that Stephen Sommers.
Stephen Sommers. He came up with a brilliant pitch. Because the other thing was the other movies or the other pitches were all in like modern time.
Yes.
And I think that was also flipping it, and people were like, what the fuck is this?
He was the only one who had, like, a period take on it. Like, yep. Hey, this takes place in the 20s. They thought that was kind of cool and unique.
And that's kind of when a lot of that those archaeological digs were happening.
But it also kind of nods to the OG Universal Classic Monsters. That's that era.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're
so
right.
So it's kind of a fun little nod. Okay, that's like us doing that without having to do the work.
Right.
Here's another bit of trivia really quick. Stephen Sommers, you know who Suzanne Sommers is?
Yes.
Stephen Sommers is her brother.
What?
Isn't that crazy? The Thighmaster lady?
Damn.
I'm fucking with you. That's not true.
Oh, oh my God. Dude, I ate that up.
You really hit me, too. I don't know if that came through on the mic, but you belted me. That was abuse.
No,
you watch
not.
Too many action movies. You were out there like fucking Rick O'Connell punching mummies and
here's
kicking
the,
people.
Here's the thing. If I really want to punch you, you're not going to be talking afterwards.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. One of us watched horror movies when he was little and the other one didn't even like live action. And who's the more violent one? You.
Well, I'm like Unikitty, right? I'm really nice until I'm not.
Until I'm not. So there you go. I was beaten and abused. You all heard it.
That could have been anything.
It could have been a sound effect that was added.
Could have been a sound effect.
Are you going to scrub the podcast before it goes out? Nobody's going to know.
I am the producer.
Yeah, that's right. You're the producer of the booth. So there you go.
Actually, I don't know any of that stuff.
None of this stuff appears on the final podcast. I just limp onto next week's show. What happened to Matt? He fell down the stairs.
He fell down the stairs.
Fell down some stairs, right? Mm-hmm. So we watched The Mummy for its 25th anniversary. And I have a lot to say about this movie because I've never officially reviewed it in any respect. I've, like, watched the movie so many times, but, like, I didn't have a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think the last time we watched, I think you and I watched the Mummy movies, like, probably once a year, once every year and a half, something like that. And we usually watch them just for fun.
It's usually a summer, like, deep summer. It's super hot out.
Because it screams summer blockbuster.
Yes.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
That's what I kept thinking while we were rewatching the movie last night. I was like, this is a blockbuster.
Yes,
this feels like summer.
Classic summer blockbuster.
Made by Stephen Sommers. A guy whose name has summer in it.
Clearly. All summer.
All summer long. Right?
Vote for summer.
But that's what I kept thinking last night. Like, and I'm not trying to dog on the, I know this is a retro review, and I'm not trying to dog on the movies of today. But like, okay.
But let's do it.
But let's dog a bit. Because I just went to go see Godzilla Kong the New Empire, and I had fun and everything. And that's kind of considered a modern blockbuster. It's doing well, right? It's made over $500 million around the world.
Damn.
But the thing is, that to me, I think it, because now it's not as special, it just feels like another thing in the assembly line of, here's a big studio movie. Like, I cannot express to you the feeling of being a 15-year-old kid, I'm dating myself, in 1999... having no fucking expectations. Everybody just thought this was going to be a whatever movie.
Yeah.
And showing up and getting hit with the fucking Mummy.
Yeah.
Like, we were all expecting, I think we were all expecting more the horror movie and not the Indiana Jones-esque theme park ride that we actually wound up getting.
Right. Oh, right.
And to be in an audience with people who were discovering that together for the first time, because it's not like Brendan Fraser was a big action hero.
No.
He was George of the Jungle.
He was Encino Man.
He was a silly guy. He wasn't out there punching and kicking. So, like, it's kind of weird. What's he going to be? Is this a comedy? Is this silly,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
No, turns out the guy's a fucking action hero. Who knew?
He's great.
Right? Rachel Weisz, people didn't really know her at the time. Mm-hmm. Right? She's just some British girl. Maybe she's been in a couple movies. I don't know. I'm sorry to say I don't know her filmography that well. My B. Also got one of my favorite 90s character actors, Jonathan Hyde. This guy I know you know. He's the dad and / the evil hunter from the original Jumanji.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
He plays one of the scholars in this movie.
He fucking cracks.
He also has one of my favorite moments in this movie that I laugh at just because it's so silly and over the top. And I love that. I'm laughing sincerely and from a good place.
Yes.
I'm not mocking. That bit where the camera slowly trucks in as the locusts are flying all over him and he goes, what have we done?
Oh my God,
makes me
good.
Laugh hysterically because it's clearly a shot. They were like, we have to have this for the trailer. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And they made that guy, this fucking poor Englishman, comes over to this country, and they're like, you know what we're going to fucking do? He's out there wrestling CG animals with Robin Williams a couple years ago. We're going to put real locusts on him and make him do this.
Ooh. And not react to the locusts.
And not react.
Do it just, like, straight.
Yes.
Woof.
Great. One of my favorite character actors ever, Kevin J. O'Connor. He plays Benny.
Oh, yeah, Benny.
He's fucking amazing.
What a little wormy man.
Total weasel. And he's a guy who turns up in a bunch of Steven Sommers movies.
Oh, so he clearly likes
working with him. I'm trying to think if there's any other big actors we're leaving out or forgetting. I don't know. You know the Brotherhood of the Magi.
That guy looks familiar.
He looks familiar, but I don't know who he is.
He looks like he needs his own action movie.
He does.
That flowing black hair. You're like, bitch, please.
I'm sorry. Listen. I'm not imitating in a mocking way. I like the voices. Jess can vouch for me. I like to do the Brotherhood of the Magi. I like to do the voices.
You
it's
guys
fun
have
for me.
No idea how many voices he does, but also how many voices don't make it to the podcast because
it would be flagged.
It would be flagged.
It's not coming from a place of negativity, though.
No, I know.
I like the way they sound. Yes. The voices sound silly. I like it. Oh. It's a complimentary thing.
Yes, but... The rest
other
of
people,
the world
it's not
will
taken
not
that
take
way.
It that
I get
way.
It. Mm-hmm. I get that. And of course, we have to finally bring up. I just wanted to run through the cast before we get into the movie. Arnold Vosloo, who plays the mummy, he plays Imhotep. This fucking guy. I'm just gonna let you talk about Arnold Vosloo and how fucking great he is.
He is fear incarnate.
He really is.
Like, he is clearly a massive guy, right? Like, he looks like he's pretty big, very tall, but. It's all in the face and the eyes, and he's just terrifying. And the movie, he just brings it. I can't. Yes. It's just you look at him and you're like, I'm fucking scared.
But is it? But one thing I like about him, he's got the fear. Like, you're scared of him.
Yes.
But there's a magnetism about him.
Oh, not for me.
And it, to me, that's kind of like what the classic Universal monsters are, like Lugosi and Karloff, like. They're scary, but there's something that you can't take your eyes off them.
Oh, like that kind of magnetism.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm attracted to
him. Not like a fear boner.
No, Jesus, I'm not attracted to the mummy. Oh my God. Let's fucking clear that shit up right now. Listen,
yes.
I am not attracted to the mummy.
He has that sort of, like, I can't look away.
The magnet, he owns the screen when he's on it.
For sure, he owns it.
Right? Because usually when you think you're a movie monster, he's kind of hiding. He's a presence that's not
known. He doesn't hide. He is out and about flaunting his shit.
But that's what's so perfect. It's like, it's a true entry into the classic Universal monsters. It feels like akin to all of those classic performances.
But you know what's amazing cast-wise? Even though the mummy guy is so piercing on screen, when he's sharing the screen with anyone else... He doesn't take over. It's kind of amazing. Like, he is able to share the screen with the rest of the cast and not overpower them.
Yes.
Which, again, it's kind of amazing. And I don't know if it's him just pulling back his acting or if the cast is just that well picked.
I think it's just, like, that well. I think it's that well cast. I think it's, like, a give and take.
Mm-hmm.
And that fucking guy is so skilled and so good. Because think about it. Half of his performance... is in CG.
Yeah.
Where if he's not a full CG mummy, right? Okay? Half his face is hidden with some decay and some grossness, or his mouth is kind of elongated, the jaw unhinges.
Dude.
He's acting through that, and you can still always... Again, it sounds like I have a crush on the mummy. I don't. You can still always feel him, despite
things.
Well,
it's in the eyes.
It's in the eyes.
I mean, that was the first thing. The eyes and the tongue were the first thing that he...
That's what he collected.
Collected.
Yes.
So you can always have that, like, that rage, that anger, that power-hungry vibe, all in the eyes.
The mummy magnetism.
The mummy magnetism.
And the Brotherhood of the Magi.
Ay, Dios.
I touched on the CG, but I do want to quickly state that. I mean, this is a movie that's 25 years old.
Yes.
And I think now, you know, we're at a point where with AI and certain CG and movies, we're all, our eyes are also trained to it. It's very easy to be like, there's the CG element. Look at how fake it looks.
Yeah.
I was kind of blown. I'm always blown away when I see these classic, quote unquote, classic movies mm-hmm. that we grew up with, like The Mummy. And the CG looks great to me. It still looks great.
Yeah, most of it looks very good. Like, really great. But I also think because, well, I guess The Mummy himself wasn't very simple. They clearly spent a lot of time and money on that. But, like, it's sand. It's bugs. You know, that sort of thing. But they made it work. And they made it look really good, even to this day. I think the water and the... Wait, can I get into the full movie?
Come on, get into it. Spoilers, guys.
The water and, like, the full soul spirit thing.
Oh, when they're trying to do the ritual?
That
looked a little funky, yeah.
That looked a little funky.
There was one soul embodiment where he's trying to put the soul back into the Anuk Zananun, right? His lover.
Amun.
Where it looks like a hooded, like a cloaked ghost.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like Casper, like the Christina Ricci Casper.
Oh, remember those ghosts kind of look cloaky? Like, it was just like a cloaked figure that's flying around.
I didn't love that.
I didn't mind it.
But everything else looks so fucking cool. Yeah, everything else is fantastic. That fucking sequence where the fucking sand kicks up.
Oh my god.
And his face, his giant face appears so I could swallow the plane.
Yes.
Is fucking amazing.
The constant jaw unhinging in this movie is, I'm going to say it, unhinged.
Oh, yeah. Oh my god.
I'm sorry.
You're so good.
I had to go there. He's like always unhinging his jaw and it just makes it even scarier. When he's yelling or he's going to eat something or you're like, oh my God, what is happening?
Let me ask you something.
Yes.
25 years of The Mummy. What's your favorite thing about this movie? What's the thing that every time you watch it, it could be a scene, a character, a moment, a line. Is there a thing you hang your love of the movie on where you're like, God, I can't wait to see this? Or every time I see it, I'm reminded how much I love this.
No, it's the whole story.
It's the whole shebang.
Because I love that it is an Indiana Jones movie. It's a scary movie that I can actually tolerate and watch. That means we get to watch a scary movie.
I love that.
And there's a little bit of romance, but it's not a big deal, thank God. Like, it's just a little bit. And then you have, like, a female lead in there getting down and dirty and, like, riding camels and fighting shit.
She's great.
I love that crap.
She's great, man.
And Brendan Fraser is also great. He's also, like, he's a hero, but he's accessible because he's a little... He's not so, like, roguishly handsome like Indiana Jones is.
Yes.
Where you can put him in a tux and you're like, whoa.
Right.
Brendan Fraser, you put him in tux, you're like... That guy's got a joke up his sleeve. Like,
right.
He's...
Or you'd be like, what? He looks like a waiter.
Yes.
Because he's kind of goofy.
He's a little goofy looking.
But that's kind of what makes him great
for
this.
Yes, exactly.
He's a reluctant, silly hero.
He is, but he also has leading man quality, obviously.
You got the fucking jaw, the height.
The punch.
Oh, dude, he handles... He fucking wrecks shop, though.
Yes,
he handle his business. I love the gunfights. You know what? You know I'm a big fan of this. When he pulls two guns at once, you know I love that shit.
Yep.
There was a moment. You know what I was clocking
last night? Wait, what is the moment that you hang?
I'm going to tell you right now.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because I'm a big monster movie guy.
You are?
And I love classic Universal monsters. The thing I always hang my hat on. I love it. I don't know. I've loved it since the first time I saw it. It's always the scene I look forward to the most. It's when they go, when he's, they're back at the fort, and he's shooting at the mummy, and the mummy's just coming towards him, and Rick is shooting at him, boom, 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 and you can see the bullet hits, and he's never stopping.
Oh, yeah.
He never stops.
Oh, is it with the other guys that fell behind him?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, because he was, like, kissing, what's her name? Oh.
Yes.
Ooh.
I love that. And the other thing I always love, too, is the cat moment. I always remember that.
Oh, that's so good.
When they show him the cat and it scares the mummy.
The next moment afterwards.
Yes. I love that whole sequence.
It's
and then
so great.
That's the thing that scares him and he turns into dust, into sand, and he flies away. And then we get... This is how the movie's structured. I noticed this.
Yes.
And this sounds boring, but it actually is perfect. Information... Spooky mysticism,
mm-hmm.
comedy,
mm-hmm.
action,
mm-hmm.
and then information, spooky mysticism, comedy. There can be romance in there.
Yep.
Action, and sometimes it has all of those things rumbling around in the pot at the same time in a given sequence, right? Because it'll be like, information. Okay, I showed him a cat, and then the fucking mummy disappeared. Why did that happen? They're like, well, in his culture, they believe that the cats are the guardians of the underworld, and since he's not fully formed yet, he's still kind of got pieces missing and he's decaying, he can't, he runs the risk of being sucked back into the underworld by the guardians. So he has to leave so he can continue to live.
That cat will bring him back.
Information.
Yep.
Mysticism now, because then the plague eventually, inevitably will come, or the mummy will do something cool as he escapes, right?
Right.
Comedy. Oh shit, the plague is coming. Now we all have to run. The plague in this instance is he's now turned everybody with boils into his slaves. Ooh. And they're marching on the town, right?
Yep.
And the comedy is Jonathan, the brother, is going to pretend to be one of them.
Yes.
So he can sneak by.
Imhotep.
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 And then the action. Now we have to, the car chase.
The car chase.
That's how the movie breaks out, right? And sometimes in the big, big, big sequences, especially when you're in the City of the Dead, Hamunaptra.
Yep.
The City of the Dead. It all happens in one big tumbler.
Right. It's like this arc of information,
yes,
mysticism,
comedy,
action.
The,
like, let's call it an arc, right? Like, you go up, and then you come back down for information. You go back up for action.
Yes.
This ebb and flow, up and down, parabola, I don't know, whatever. Anyways.
Parabola.
Yeah, that's right. Math. The up and down, the cadence of the movie, it's not always the same timing, and I think that's why it works. Yes, when you break it down, you're like, oh, that sounds so boring. But that all
it's
of that
perfect.
Can happen in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 minutes.
Yep. And I'm not saying that to knock the movie. I'm just pointing out because it's such a simple structure.
Yes.
But to me, simple isn't a bad word.
No.
It's pure and it drives forward, so it works.
Sometimes movies now are so convoluted with a bunch of crap.
Too much crap.
You can't follow it. The movie's 4 hours long for no goddamn reason.
This movie is under 2 hours.
It's perfect.
And let me blow your mind with this. The movie is under just a hair under 2 hours. We don't see the mummy for an hour, I clocked last night.
Really?
He does not appear until 58 minutes in.
And that's when they open the sarcophagus?
Correct. Well, that's when he's out. When he's fully out and visible. When he's chasing him under the... after he's been out and he's been raised and before he sucks the guy... Or after he sucks the guy's eyes out, basically,
okay.
Right? So, because all that stuff... And that's not to say the movie's boring, because that's how amazing it is. That's how effective it is, right? For the first hour, you're just hanging out with Rick O'Connell, the adventurer.
Well.
Rachel Weisz, her brother.
Yep.
The guy they get from the prison. And the Americans, who are also trying to jockey to see Hamunaptra as well, right?
Right.
And you get these great bits. Here's the backstory on Rick. Here's the backstory on Evelyn. Okay, here's how they discover the City of the Dead. Here's how the dig is going. Now we get some action on the boat. Here's the Brotherhood of the Magi, we should say. Okay. And that is so exciting and so cool. There was a moment last night where I was like, this movie is so goddamn good.
Yeah.
I'm not like, hey, where's the fucking mummy?
Right. Well, we also, in the beginning of the whole movie, you start 3,000 years beforehand and you see why.
Yes.
He becomes a mummy.
But that, I'm not counting that
because
he's not in
that.
Mummy form
no,
yet.
No. I know. But I'm saying part of that hour is also...
Yes. Is getting the
backstory.
Yes, on Imhotep.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Lots of fun Egyptian names and words. What was your favorite? We've got Imhotep, Anuksananun, Hamunaptra.
That one.
You like Anuksananun?
Yeah, but I think, isn't it Moon?
I say Anuksananun.
I think it
like
was...
Like high noon.
No,
You're saying
it was
Moon. Okay, people. Is
it
tomato?
Say
it again? Anuksananun?
I think it's Anuksananmoon.
Sun and moon? Is that what you're saying? Anuk,
yeah.
Sun and moon?
Wait.
Okay, people, in the comments, tell us who is saying it correctly. Is it me saying Anuksananun with an N, or is it Jess saying sun and moon?
It's not sun and moon, but it's moon.
You're saying Anuk, sun and moon.
Hold on. We're going to fix this because.
Go to Google and say, yeah.
Just like
ask her
the
how...
real Amun. Anksu Namun.
Anuksananun. Anuksananun.
There's Ankh. It's not Anuk.
He says Anuk, though.
All right, well, he's wrong.
It's the Brotherhood of the Magi.
Ankh Sunamun.
The Magi.
I was correct.
Okay, well, in the movie, it sounds like they're saying Anuk Sunanun.
You know what? They say a lot of things in that movie.
We should also point out, too, that, again, it's a big sweeping adventure, but to as Jess has been saying, there are great scary moments.
Oh my God, so many scary moments.
What are some, break it down for?
Holy shit. Okay, well, the first one that I think of is when they mummify Imhotep alive! They alive, and you're watching his priests get mummified alive, and they're putting the hot pokers up their noses, like,
yes, and you can see them, you can see that happening in the background.
In the background.
Yeah.
And then they put flesh-eating scarab beetles in the fucking sarcophagus.
So cool.
There's so many creepy crawly bugs, and I'm like, my skin, just thinking about it, my skin's crawling.
I love the effects on those scarabs, too. Especially, I like it a little more when you see them kind of skittering around.
Yeah.
And less when they go under the skin. Oh, that looks a little bulby and a little weird. But I love how they look, especially when there's like a bunch of them, you know, they start kind of all kind of geysering out of the sand,
yes,
or when they're all covering the walkway and they're running to get away from them. That's like classic monster movie shit.
Yeah.
I love that shit.
That's
Listen,
scary.
If I'm in a court of law and there's a Bible in front of me, I'm going to put my fucking hand on it. And I'm going to say, I love that shit. I love when people have torches in dark areas and they're running from a bunch of little shits on the floor. Fucking love it.
Love it.
Love it. Here's my money. Take the money.
Oh my God.
Love that shit.
Whew.
Another thing I want to ask you about.
Yes.
Is we touched a little on the horror. I want to talk about the action. Right?
Well, the action and the horror kind of
they
go
They kind of are tied together.
Hand.
But is there a big sequence that you're like, I love this sequence so goddamn much?
Ugh. There's so many, but the one that's like popping out of my mind like right now is when they're in the plane.
Yes.
And it's the wall of sand.
That
so,
looks so good.
It's Benny, it's a pilot, it's Rick, and the Magi.
And the Brotherhood of the Magi.
Yes, thank you. It's the four of them on a plane, and the Brotherhood of the Magi guy is strapped to a wing, and Jonathan is also strapped to a wing. You're like, this is real safe, guys. Good job. But they're flying through the desert because they're going to go to Hamunaptra and save Evie. But, you know, Evie sees them in the sky, and she's like, hearts are just flying out of her eyes, like, yay!
They came to rescue me! Whee!
And the mummy sees that shit, and he is like, oh, hell no.
Yes.
And the wall of sand comes up and basically is going to swallow them. Not just the sand, but like the mummy's face shows up in the sand, almost like those Magic Eye 3D posters.
Yes.
And fucking unhinges his jaw again in the sand and is about to devour the plane.
Oh, it's so cool.
And you're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You guys are fucked.
I also love the simplicity of the way that that sequence is shot, because it's a very simple thing of cutting to Arnold Vosloo.
Yep.
Showing him opening his mouth and he looks satisfied, like he's about to swallow a bite of food.
Yes.
Then you cut to the giant face swallowing the plane.
Right. And Rick is like shooting bullets at it. I'm like, bro, that's
not. It looks
not
so cool though.
It does. And I'm like,
with the bullets ricocheting and shit.
Not gonna do
I also want to call out how badass it is that the Brotherhood of the Magi guy, after their plane crashes, he rips the fucking gun off the plane.
Yes.
That's what he shoots with.
Hell yeah.
I love that shit.
It's great.
All right. You know what we haven't touched on yet?
Hmm.
Two things. One, you never asked me what my favorite Egyptian name was.
Okay, well, you know, you keep talking really fast and you're asking all these questions. I can't do everything. What is your favorite Egyptian name of this movie?
Okay, it's Hamunaptra.
Ooh, Hamunaptra.
It's the city of the Did.
The Did.
I like that a lot.
That's a good
name. I like the way it sounds. And if we were getting a new animal, I think it'd be fun to call it Hamunaptra.
No, everything bad happens at Hamunaptra. I'm not naming a pet that.
Or maybe Hamu,
no,
for short.
No, because you'll still know. Look, I only know because I named my cat Cleo. short for Cleopatra.
Oh, and that cat was demanding.
Yeah.
Demanding.
You got to be careful what you name your animals.
Okay, all right, that's fair. Yes. That's fair.
Yes.
And two, we haven't touched on the plagues.
Okay, yeah, tell me about the plagues.
So
like,
I came from Catholic school.
I'm a heathen, and you're I don't know jack shit.
You're going to hell.
Yep.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
I forgive you.
I'm going to have a good old time.
Okay. I forgive you. You'll see Mark there.
Hi, Mark.
No, actually, Mark will be in heaven, I think, because Mark is, like, super churchy.
Mark is a really nice guy, though. He's not going
that's
to
hell. That's
true.
No, he's not going
you're
to hell.
You're coming to hell with me.
What?
Yeah.
I don't want to go.
Sorry.
I want to go to heaven.
No.
I don't want to go to Hamunaptra.
Well.
Okay. So, the plagues. Here's the thing. This is how you know that I went to Catholic school. And if Mark was on this episode, he would be like, oh, yeah, I know all these plagues. Because they're all biblical. You learn these as a kid in Catholic school. It's like, here's the locusts. Here's when the water turns to blood. Here's the people covered in boils. Here's the blacking out of the sun, which we now know is an eclipse. By the way, that was funny. Since we just had an eclipse and people were idiots and looking up at it with no eye protection.
Oh, right.
There's a moment in The Mummy where everyone looks up at the eclipse and we were both like, hey, assholes, put your fucking glasses on.
Yeah, you can't look at it directly. And then I was like, oh, wait, they're all going to die. It's
they're all
going
to die anyway. It's fine. They can't Google. There's no Google there's in no 1932. Google. They can't Google why does my eyes hurt.
No. Oh, my God. Fucking dumbasses.
Did you see that?
Yes.
And people were Googling why does my eyes hurt.
You looked at the
goddamn sun. You're
looking
at the sun, you fucking dipshits.
You know what? I'm here for natural selection, man. Like, let's just, you know.
So that's all it is. The mummy's just a tool of natural selection.
Great.
Right? He's weeding out kind of like, a, what do you call that? The
dumbasses?
Darwin. It's like Darwinism.
Darwinism,
Darwinism,
yeah.
Right?
It's the survival of the fittest.
Survival of the fittest.
Which clearly humanity has weeded that whole idea out.
Completely out.
Just look at us.
But the plagues all look really cool to me.
They looked great.
There's
did they,
one.
Do they do 10?
No, they don't do. Well, there's probably 10 in the fiction of the movie, but I think we only see like 5, right? Because we see blood, the water and wine turning into blood.
Yeah.
We see locusts.
Yep.
We see the eclipse, the blacking out of the sun.
Yeah.
There's one where fire rains from the sky.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
That's one. And then the people covered in boils who become like his
oh, right.
His servants.
Were the scarabs one of them?
The scarabs were not.
Or no,
the scarabs just kind of came with him.
They just came out.
I think
okay.
That's like pestilence. Maybe you could consider that pestilence, like when he eats the when he eats Jonathan Hyde in the outside they're watching and he like finally gets the last piece of his face.
Oh yeah.
Right. And then you see all the bugs kind of come out and scare everyone away after
yeah.
The eclipse. I guess you could kind of consider that pestilence. Anyway, there aren't that many good plagues left. I could see why they left those out.
What are the rest of the plagues?
It's like really morbid shit that you probably wouldn't want to cover in a movie, a summer blockbuster like Death of the Firstborn.
Oh, right.
Frogs, supposed to rain frogs,
oh,
which would happen, funny enough, in the same movie year, 1999, in Magnolia.
Oh, right, right. Maybe that's why they didn't do it. They're like, nah, somebody else covered it.
And the last one is, it rains cinnamon French toast.
That doesn't sound like a plague. That sounds great. I want cinnamon French toast.
I couldn't get it. I couldn't sell that with a straight
no.
Face to you. I was going to try
like
and
Suzanne Summers you. Suzanne Summers me? No, I've got. I'm watching you now.
It's so funny. Like we have a lot to say about the movie, but it also is a little difficult to talk about a movie that's just so great and means so much.
Yeah.
The reason it has endured and is having 25th anniversary screenings is because it connects with audiences. Like. In its day, I was reading that, like, some of the reviews were mixed, which, by the way, I was like, I don't know what fucking audience that was, because in old Louisiana, where I saw it, as a 15-year-old, impressionable 15-year-old, my audience loved it.
Nice.
Loved it. And I remember that being just a great summer for movies. I remember that being, like, a summer you were at the movies every weekend. And this stood out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to, I mean, beyond just kind of naming all the reasons, right? I'm trying to think of like, well, why has this endured for 25 years when other movies haven't had the same kind of lasting power, right? Is it just because it's so goddamn fun? Is it just because
yeah.
It all works so well? Is it craft? Is it?
I think it's a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
I think that's why it still works. And we even have bumper stickers. about
Oh my god,
it.
Yes.
Honk.
Tell
if
the
you,
people about.
Honk if you'd rather be watching the 1999 Brendan Fraser The Mummy.
Which is a real bumper,
it's a real bumper sticker
in our neighborhood that we found.
You can find it online.
We put it on Instagram.
Yeah.
You can see it at the Matt and Mark Movie Show. But we really took that picture. That's not a picture we borrowed from Google.
Yeah, no, no. You can.
That
actually
was somebody in the Target parking lot.
Yep. And you know what? We honked.
Now I'm seeing there are more of those bumper stickers. Like, honk if you love the 1983 masterpiece, Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
Oh, yeah.
Which I do love.
There's going to be.
But the Mummy one is especially funny.
It's
because I think people
it's
don't
so,
think of it.
It's so weird and perfect.
It's perfect.
But yes, I do think that this movie endures for many reasons. One, for nostalgia factor. Like, you, like you're saying,
yeah.
Like, oh
Duh.
My God, I love that feeling of being a 15-year-old in the movie theater. And I'm sure every time you see this movie, you get that rush again. Like,
yes.
Oh, I'm 15. Yes, I love this.
No responsibilities.
Yeah.
Nobody's making me pay bills.
What a time.
I get to go to Blockbuster Video.
What a time.
Got NBA Jams on the Sega.
Ooh, yeah.
Just having a grand time.
Oh, my God.
The movies are better.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, there's a little bit of mix of everything. It's scary enough for your, like, horror fans.
Love it.
But not so scary that for someone like me who is a baby can't, you know, maybe can't handle it.
Yeah.
I can
you
handle
still
it.
You Dude, still scream a little bit during this one,
a
though.
A little
which
bit.
I love.
I'm screaming into a blanket for half the movie for various reasons. It's like,
there are a couple jump scares that really
oh,
get
yeah,
you in this.
Oh, yeah, that too, because I don't remember them. But, like, there's so many creepy crawlies, or, like, when Imhotep is, like, caressing Evie and she's like, I'm fucking not having it. I'm like, ah! Like, fucking just, oh my God, please don't touch her.
And all of the, I love the way that that some of, not mummies, but just like dead bodies, like pop out.
Oh my God.
They pop
yes.
out of coffins. They pop out of sarcophaguses or sarcophagi.
Sarcophagi.
They pop out of the ground.
Yes.
Like,
they pop
the
out of everywhere.
Dude, the mummy's hand doesn't just, that's what I fucking love, is like this weird little detail, right? The mummy's hand doesn't just come out of the ground. It fucking bursts out
yeah.
of the sand. Like, if a body part or a body comes out of anything in this movie, it bursts or explodes.
Yeah.
Oh,
I yeah.
love that little touch.
It's coming in fast and hot.
That's like, to me, that's like one of those weird directorial flourishes. Like, some other director wouldn't have done it that way. Steven Summers is like, no, fuck that. Everything pops.
Yes.
Everything literally, like a balloon, pops. Like,
yep.
It just gets your attention. It's scary. It
right.
makes you jump. But there's also just kind of this, like, there's a geekiness about it that I love. Like, yeah. Like, it's just so weird and cool, you know? Like, did I just nerd out a little too much on you?
I live with you, so.
Yeah, like, that's nothing.
This is nothing. That's just funny, because that's not how I see it, but yeah.
How do you see it?
What do you mean?
Like the explosion. Oh, no, you're me geeking out. You're
yes.
saying that's not that bad.
I'm not.
I've geeked out
I'm
way
not,
worse.
Well, that, but I also don't, I didn't realize, because I'm just watching the movie. I'm
yes.
so immersed in it. I'm not sitting here taking notes like, Summers, that was really good. Another exploding body. Okay, this is great. Yeah. Ooh, that one exploded out of the ground too. Okay, yeah, great. Oh, this one? Oh, wait, this one wasn't a whimper. That one also kind of exploded onto frame.
No
mm.
picture of mine ever ended with a whimper. another thing I love, too, that we didn't even touch on is our big climax at the end when Imhotep is trying to use Evie as a sacrifice
yes!
to raise Anuk, Sun, and Noon. Or Anuk, Sun, and Moon.
Yep.
Right? And he raises all these other mummies that come out of the walls.
Yep, the priests.
The priests. And they have these hook weapons and shit. It looks so cool.
Yeah.
And it's a big-ass moment where Rick O'Connell is, like, sword fighting, like, 15 mummies.
Yeah, yeah. And you think that he's actually killed them. There's still
did.
A
There's
lot.
Still a lot more.
There's, like, a fucking hand crawling.
Yes. That I love. And he has to grab.
Yes.
He can't reach the sword, but he can grab the hand that's grabbing the sword
yeah.
to cut the other mummy down.
So good.
There is a moment where, when he, that big moment where he fights, like, 12 mummies with the sword. It kind of made me think, from a directorial standpoint, I was like, it feels like he was not, like, they didn't pre-viz everything like they do today. Like, this is the way Ant-Man's gonna kick this guy, and this guy's gonna fly this way. Like, back in the day, they didn't do that.
Yeah.
I think what they did, I'm not even fucking kidding. I would bet cold hard cash money that Steven Summers was like, Brendan, now act like you're fighting off 10 mummies. And Brendan Fraser, being an awesome physical actor
yep.
and comedian, is out there swinging that sword, huh, doing lunges, pretending like his sword got caught on a head, throwing the thing, and then they send that empty footage to ILM, and they're like, cool, now create all the mummies he's fighting.
Oh, shit, you don't think they had anybody in, like, green suits? Just not even for the motion cap, but just for something for him to react to?
I don't think the tech was there at that point.
Wow.
I think it was tennis balls and, like, little lines at that point. Like, I think they were literally, like, unless it was a specific thing where he had to be at a specific point because of eyeline or something.
Right.
I think they were like, Brendan, just swing that sword around and pretend you're fighting three guys here and three guys here.
Wow.
And ILM will fill it in.
If that's,
it had that kind of
if
vibe.
If that's what happened, that was fantastic.
It's just, to me, that's how I like to imagine that
beat. Oh, you're imagining
things? But I'm betting I'm right.
You talking that shit?
I am talking that shit.
Oh, you're betting you're right, just like a Nook, Sun, and a Moon?
A Nook, Sun, and Moon?
Yeah.
It's a Nook, Sun, and Noon.
No. We literally just Googled
it. The Brotherhood of the Magi.
Moon.
We haven't even touched on the Brotherhood of the Magi.
Oh my god. So perfect.
They're like the guys from your favorite. Jess loves Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. That's
yes!
your favorite one. That's your favorite indie movie.
Yes.
Okay. The Brotherhood of the Magi are basically in that movie. There are what are they called in that movie? The Keepers of the...
The Keepers of the Grail?
Keepers of the Grail or something like that. They're not the Brotherhood of the Grail, but there's basically the Brotherhood of the Magi of that movie. And they even have fezes.
Yep.
They're guys in fezes who protect the Grail, and they try to... You think they're bad guys, and then they wind up helping Indiana Jones later.
Totally.
Same deal here. When I see this movie, I'm like, oh, that gives me, again, those warm, fuzzy, nostalgic feelings. I'm like, oh, the Brotherhood of the Magi are like those guys.
Totally.
Right?
They ride horses.
Yes.
They be doing it... Oh, sorry.
They have wicked mustaches.
Oh my god,
they're
so many
dark
mustaches.
And swarthy.
So dark and swarthy.
So swarthy. What does swarthy mean?
I don't know.
Can we look that up?
Yeah.
What is dark and swarthy? Well, I know what dark means.
Do we? Okay.
Okay. What is swarthy?
Dark skinned.
Oh boy. This is going to get me in trouble. I was just learning. It's a teachable moment. I wanted to know what the word meant.
Hold on.
But, okay, the Brotherhood of the Magi are swarthy, are they not?
Yes, but, okay, this is part of the definition. So, swarthy means dark-skinned. If you like tall, dark, and handsome men, you find a swarthy complexion attractive.
Mm.
Not everyone with dark skin is swarthy. The word usually used to describe someone whose skin is weather-beaten or darkened by the sun or has an olive complexion.
Weather-beaten?
Yeah.
Like Darkman, when his face is all fucked up?
No! No! God, no, not like him. Ooh.
Your face is weather-beaten as shit.
He's just burned. Yeah, dark color, complexion, or cast.
Okay,
so
thank you.
That is, they
so
are...
So is the mummy swarthy? No. He's not swarthy.
I mean, he does have an olive kind of complexion, so, like, yeah, technically he could be swarthy, but he's not weather-beaten like the Magi, right? The Magi?
You're talking about the Brotherhood of the Magi.
Yes, yes, those ones. The Brotherhood of the Magi.
Magi.
They're definitely swarthy.
You must leave this place.
Or die.
I like how he says that. Leave this place or die. You have released the creature we have kept hidden for 3,000 years. Fucking pricks.
Oh, I wish that last part
and
was
And now ending. I cannot go home to be with my family. I have to be out here
Are
fighting.
Are you kidding me? He doesn't have a family.
Oh, yeah, dude. He's got kids. Shit, he's got to feed
no,
kids.
No, he's out
he
there.
He got an old nagging wife. She's like, how come you're not home all the time?
Oh, I'm sorry. Are all wives nagging?
No, they're
mm-hmm.
not. No, they're not. Mm-hmm. But his is. Maybe that's why he spends so much time out in the desert
or
with the Brotherhood of the
Because
Magi.
He has to protect something and everyone's always taking it.
That's true. Yeah. They have to protect
But
the...
that's why he's swarthy, because he's weather-beaten. He's got all the sun damage and...
That's true.
You know, tan.
And he's got the face tats, like Post Malone.
Dude, yeah. He's got face tats.
Face crap. Tats before they were cool here in The Mummy in 1999.
Who knew?
Who fucking knew? Oh, man, so much cool shit in this movie. Oh, no, what's happening? Producer in the booth is getting something out of my beard.
It was a fuzzy.
Thank
it's
you.
Fine.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
I was like, oh, God, it's an... Oh,
You're
it's
like,
fine.
Oh, God, did you think it was a scarab?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Hey, so out of the cast, is there an MVP for you? Is there somebody that you're like, if we had to give an award, MVP of The Mummy, who's the MVP of this cast? You can't... No two-way tie bullshit. Who's the MVP?
The mummy. The actor who plays the mummy.
Damn it. I love you. That was going to be my answer.
Really?
Arnold Vosloo is my MVP.
What's his name? Vosloo?
Arnold Vosloo. He is South African. South African.
My bruh.
Hey, my bruh, South African.
No.
My bruh.
No.
Like that?
No.
Jess used to hang out with a bunch of South Africans because she worked at a South African restaurant.
Yes, and one of them basically became my older brother.
Yes.
And protected me.
And Jess, in the day, could do a pretty good South African
accent.
Yeah,
I can't do it anymore, but...
And you knew all the terminology. You'd be like, oi, bruv, you want to get some chips?
Yeah,
or whatever
it was
shit you would
crazy.
Say.
They would teach me all kinds of shit. Like, really bad words, and I'm like...
What's a bad... Do you remember any
no,
of the South
I don't,
African
no,
bad
thank God,
words?
I don't remember. I just remember, man. Like... One of my friends went to South Africa recently, and she posted a cocktail, and I was like, oh, I know what that is. I was like, that's a Springbok. And then I was like, oh, wait, I have to Google it. I have to see if that's actually correct. And sure enough.
It was.
I was.
Look
I remember
at you flexing.
That. Yeah, there's a Springbok, a poiki.
A poiki.
Borvors.
I just remember the toast points. Toast points.
No, it's just toast points.
Yeah, toast points.
Oh, hey, yo.
And the peri-peri sauce.
Oh,
the peri-peri. Wings with the peri-peri.
Mm.
So spicy.
So good.
So spicy. That's one thing you never really see anyone eat in The Mummy. I think only the mummy.
Yeah.
He eats people's flesh and sucks up the things that they took
yeah.
so that he can reform. But you never actually see anyone eat anything.
Well, it's kind of like a Bond film and like Indiana Jones. Nobody eats.
Nobody eats. And nobody stops to take a shit.
Nope.
Nobody takes a shower.
Well, you know what? You haven't eaten, so you don't have to poop.
Shit.
Also, your body's running on so much adrenaline. Like... There, no pooping is going to happen. Your body is like, I am not safe. I cannot poop. And we are not eating.
We are not eating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I think if I was running from the mummy, I might shit my pants as
yeah.
I was running away.
Well,
maybe.
You know, maybe that's like the first shit. And then your body's like, okay, no more. We're done. No eating. We're clear. We can run faster.
And we're clear. Yeah. Okay. Well, wouldn't be a podcast without us having to deal with the podcast cat. I'm gonna vamp, as the kids say, as Jess continues to figure out what to do with the podcast cat. He did really well.
He did.
He hung out and has not terrorized the show at all.
I'm gonna leave the door open.
All right, let's see what happens. See what happens.
Sorry, guys.
Now listen, it feels like we've been on a love fest with the movie. Do you have? I mean, it's the 25th anniversary. We fucking love the movie.
Yes.
I have voiced a few minor nitpicks. We haven't heard... Do you have any gripes of the movie or nitpicks?
Not really. I know.
It's like a perfect movie, right?
No. No. I'm not saying it's a perfect movie. I will not go on record for that. But it's a fun movie. I thoroughly enjoy it. And it's a well-told story. So, like, minor nitpicks are, like... What happened to Rachel Weisz's eyebrows? Although I know, like, it was of the time, so I'm like, kudos to them for keeping it of the era. But they're like so distracting.
What
for
does that
me.
Mean? What does that explain?
Oh, her eyebrows are like overly plucked. They're like pencil thin eyebrows. Like,
uh-huh.
They look like they're like literally like drawn.
Maybe her eyebrows got scared away by the mummy.
You know, that's possible.
Right?
Like, they were already thin before the mummy happened.
Okay, and then he thinned him out even more.
Maybe.
Just like he sucked that one guy's eyes out, he sucked her eyebrows out. Is that what happened?
Yes.
That's funny that you went for, like, a cosmetic thing.
Well, because, like, that's what I noticed. I noticed random stuff like that. Cosmetics, or costume, or hair, or color, or... I feel like it's random stuff. Although sometimes movies, if the story is shit, then I'm gonna be like, hey, I don't know what you guys did in that writer's room... But y'all didn't.
But
do
you
it.
Gotta do it better.
You gotta do it better.
You gotta do it better.
No, I think it's a good enough movie. I don't really have that many gripes with it. Like, could the CG be maybe cleaned up? Maybe, but it's still great as
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I don't even think it does. I think
yeah,
it looks beautiful.
What are your gripes?
I told you, my only gripes is, like, I don't like the way that one, when they're in the ritual, that the ghost looks like a hooded cloak. I don't like that. It's like too silly. It's too comic
yeah.
strippy. It looks like something out of
and
Popeye
the,
or Casper
the, like,
or something.
Thick watery goo definitely looks like of that 1999
right, but you see,
era.
I love that watery goo when all the faces are appearing in it.
Okay, but that's not all the
shit
time.
Looks cool.
That's at the very end.
Yes.
Before that,
but I'm just saying
it just
that's
ridiculous.
My that's just my personal nitpick. I don't like the cloaked figure. And yeah, I think that's really it. I mean, the other things I noticed there, and I kind of noticed them lovingly. They're not even nitpicks. Like, that Jonathan Hyde bit with the locusts, I always laugh at because I can clearly, it just is a thing that perfectly to me sums up my love of The Mummy.
Yes.
Here is this giant staged thing with this classically trained actor you recognize. We're giving you this big scary trailer moment and you know it's going to happen. Just like if you watch enough movies, you watch enough trailers, you watch enough stuff, you're like, okay, here we go. The camera's going to push in. They're going to give you this big line and it's telegraphed so well, but like I love seeing it.
Oh, it's so great.
Because like I know the magic trick and I want them to do it.
It also kicks the movie off.
Yes. It's so
That's when it kicks
cool.
into high gear and you're like, oh, fuck.
Oh, shit.
What did they do?
You're right. It really does have like, hey, we're meeting everybody. We're kind of, as you said, ebbs and flows. We're kind of mounting up. Once you get to Hamunaptra, the movie just is like, boom, like a rocket ship from there. It never lets up.
No, it doesn't.
Right? Even when they go and they are, the characters have to find a way back to Hamunaptra for the shit to go down. And they do.
Right.
I love that. Would you, I think it's, I know the answer, but would you recommend The Mummy to people to watch? Would you, here's a better question.
I was trying to do dramatic effect.
Were you, oh, you were doing like Jonathan Hyde with the locusts.
Mm.
What have we done?
What have we done?
Would you recommend people go out to the theater to see the 25th anniversary re-release of The Mummy?
If you love your theater, like, you know that it's, like, a great experience, you don't have a bunch of assholes in your crowd usually, then yes, go to the theater. Get a big bucket of popcorn and do my favorite new thing.
Oh!
If your movie theater has an icy machine.
Which they do. Everybody's theater.
Okay.
Yes.
If they have an icy machine, why don't you bring yourself a little treat? Bring a little teeny tiny flask. Fill it with your favorite stuff and mix it in with that icy. Because let me tell you, I had a bourbon Coke icy the last time and it was fantastic.
Yeah, Jess and I went to a Fathom event for Labyrinth.
Yes.
To see Labyrinth. We both love Labyrinth and we would see Labyrinth on the big screen and Jess had her like bourbon Coke icy and it was delicious.
It was fantastic.
Oh my God.
I'm here to tell you guys.
And I snuck in fancy cookies from Whole Foods.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
It was the most luxurious over the top. Bougie.
Decadent.
Decadent is right.
He's back. The podcast cat is back, ladies and gentlemen.
You're out, bud.
Oh, sorry, buddy. He's like, fuck you. I was trying to protect you from the mummy. I was trying to protect you.
But yes, definitely go see it in the movie theater if you can. If you need icy and liquor combinations, let us know. We can help you out for pairings.
Oh, yeah. Producer in the booth can definitely help you out there. I would also, I think I'm just going to echo kind of what Jess said.
Are you going to wreck it?
I think if it came to our local, I would maybe want to go check it out. I don't think it is going to come to our local, sadly. I think it's one of those things that's just like, it's like AMC or Regal only.
Oh, bummer.
So counts us out. But I luckily, I've seen the movie on the big screen.
Yes.
I saw it in its original run. And I have the 4K set. I have the Ultimate Mummy Trilogy in 4K. That does not include any of the Scorpion King movies. It's just Mummy, Mummy 2, and Mummy Tomb of the Dragon Emperor.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, I should say, last night, after we were done watching The Mummy, you know what I immediately went and did? I watched ride-through videos of The Mummy ride from Universal Studios.
Oh my God.
So I could
of
fully
course.
Experience.
Of
which,
course.
And I've ridden that, too. I've ridden it on both coasts. I've ridden it at Revenge of the Mummy, they call it. I've ridden it in Orlando and in Hollywood.
Did I ride it? Can I ride it?
I think you could. It would be a once-in-a-lifetime thing for you, or
oh,
you're like,
God.
I'm not doing this again.
Oh, cool. So maybe I'll never...
Maybe just watch a ride-through and see if you'd want to ride it.
Okay.
I would recommend... I'm partial to the Hollywood one. My ride people. I don't know if people prefer Orlando. I think the Hollywood one is better. Anyway, once we were done, producer in the booth kind of left, did her own thing. I was like, I'm watching fucking ride-through videos. I want to be on the Mummy ride right now. If we lived near the park and it was open because we watched it late, I was like, man, I would be like, all right. Guess what I'm doing? I'm going to go to the fucking park.
To the park right now.
And I'm going
to
ride the mummy.
You would.
I want to be in the mummy right
you
now.
You would.
That's not a perverted thing. I don't want to be inside the mummy. Jesus Christ.
Ew.
Hold it down, everybody.
Gross.
Fucking cut it out, bro. God. I think that's it. I mean, is there anything else you want to mention or talk about? I feel like that was like a pretty...
I think that's like...
That was like a pretty well-rounded mummy discussion.
Yeah, let me sum it up. The Mummy is fucking great. If you haven't seen it, go see it somehow. If you have to rent it and stream it, great. If you can go to the theater, great. If you got a 4K, great. See it with a crowd or see it with people, I think, is really fun. Host a movie night. Have people over.
Let me ask you this. Where do you stand on the sequels? Do you like Mummy 2 and 3 and Scorpion King and all that stuff?
I feel like we saw Scorpion King and I feel like it was trash.
That's trash.
It's trash.
Well, listeners to this show know I like Scorpion King because I like to say Hakuma Shente.
But I don't remember. I also don't remember the other two. I think we've watched
Part 2 is the one that has the Psy fighting where like Anouk Sananoon fights with... doesn't she fight with Evie and they have a Psy fight?
Probably.
And then Tomb of the Dragon Emperor is the one where there's Yetis and they kick a field goal and one of them literally holds up the field goal arms.
Jesus.
That's when the series goes off the deep end a little bit.
Yeah, I don't really remember
those. I still
like
it though.
I mean, look, love what you love, watch what you want to watch. It's kind of how I feel. But then... Oh, right. And then when they made the new Mummy with Tom Cruise and what's her name?
Yeah, Sofia Boutella.
Right. That's not part of this.
No.
That's like its own thing.
Yeah, he's not. Well, that's what's funny. I was reading again. Tom Cruise was originally offered the part of Rick O'Connell.
No.
Yes. And when he turned it down, they went looking and they went through all the different names, Matt Damon, someone else. And they finally ended on Brendan Fraser. So that's what was ironic. When we got the updated Mummy in 2016 or 17, it was Tom Cruise. That's why he took that part. Cause he was like, oh, I saw it was a giant franchise that happened without me. Let me now take the part I was supposed to get all those years ago.
Let me ruin it.
Dickhead.
I like Tom Cruise, but that movie I did not like.
Yeah, I would call that a I'm trying to think of a good I would call that emo crap.
That was good.
Thank you.
Emo crap. Yeah, that was emo crap. But not emo band crap.
Not an emo band.
Mm-mm.
Just emo crap.
Emo crap.
Like emo tap.
Oh, I know.
Hamunaptra. Anouk Sananoon.
Ugh.
The Brotherhood of the Magi.
You guys have no idea, but now he's going to harass me for the rest of the week just saying all of these random names. And because he can't say the princess name correctly, that's the one he's going to lean on. Yep.
You're a patient person, and I appreciate that.
Until I'm not.
Until you're not.
We haven't gotten to that point, I think. So
I'm still here doing this pod.
Yeah, you're still alive.
I'm still alive. So far, so good.
Actually, that's why we just keep doing the podcast, so people know he's still alive.
This is my check-in to the world, so they know. Producer in the booth, I would like to thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you.
For this episode of The Mummy. I hope you Producer in the Booth fans in the audience got a kick out of hearing her. I know everybody loves to hear you on our travelogue episodes. So maybe we'll do, you don't be such a stranger so often. Maybe we'll have you back on.
Yeah.
For certain movies, you know?
I'm here for it.
Okay.
As long as the people like it and they're not like, this is garbage. Keep her off the airwaves.
No one's saying that. but I want to thank you for joining me this week.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure and an honor to be on the Matt and Mark Movie Show.
Oh. And we should tell people too, even when you're not heard on the show, you're here.
Yeah, I'm usually in the background freelancing.
You're freelancing or you're removing the cat.
Yeah.
Or you're reminding us, hey, that fact is wrong.
Yep.
Or hey, or you're laughing, adding color to the background.
A little bit, yeah.
We appreciate that.
Thanks.
Okay? You're part of the show, so thank you for that. And thank all of you for listening.
Yes, thank you.
To this episode, this retro review, the 25th anniversary of The Mummy. Happy anniversary, Mummy. As I said, the movie will be out April 26th. You can go see it on the big screen, or if you got the Blu-ray or the 4K, pop that baby in and watch to celebrate.
And get scared.
And get real scared.
Scared.
Call up the Brotherhood of the Magi.
Oh my god.
Okay. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week. We're out of here. Peace.